everybody, and welcome to another episode of the DigiE Podcast. My name is Nicole Yates, and we have an excellent guest for you today. Our guest is comedian Lisa Curry. She's super funny, has written for The Jim Jefferies Show, and also has an awesome album called Alive for a While, which you can get anywhere that you get your anything recorded. iTunes, Spotify, wherever. Grab it. It's really great. She's super funny, super nice, and has a tabletop Ms. Pac-Man machine that I might actually steal from her house.
All right. So I'm here with Lisa Curry. How you doing, Lisa?
I'm great. Thanks. How are you, Nicole?
I'm good. We were just talking about how we're melting. So that's fun. So hot in LA right now. So hot.
Yeah. It was like 95 at noon. I went to get a COVID test today at Dodger Stadium and was honestly relieved to see there was such a long line because I could just sit in my car in the air conditioning. I was
like, oh, yeah.
A break.
Yes, definitely. And that line just wraps all the way around. I got one there too. So it's like a 45 minutes of just blow that air on me, baby. Let me feel it.
And then I come home and I'm like, no. I don't have air conditioning.
How many loops did you do around the block before you had to finally park the car?
Yeah, 100. My test was actually 8 this morning. I just got home.
Oh, man. So let's talk about where you're from. So where are you from?
Northwest Indiana. I'm from a little town called Cedar Lake. It's about an hour out of Chicago.
Okay.
Cool. We've been here for a while, though.
Oh yeah, haven't we all? This last 6 months have been the longest 6 years of my life, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't even know what day it is anymore. I had to like double check on my calendar. Like it is Wednesday, right? Okay, good.
Yeah, I had a good handle on the days at first, and now I'm like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
this is nonsense. It's all made up.
Totally. So you're a Midwest girl.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you?
No, I'm from Philly.
Oh, okay.
So. Yeah, so I'm just all about, like, food that'll kill you.
I love Philly.
Oh, Philly's awesome. I'm a big fan. You do shows out there?
I did a few years ago. I think just one show. But I loved it. I like all the old history. And so I like East Coast towns just because they're older and there's more richness to them than West Coast towns.
Yeah. When you come out here, it's like everything kind of started in 1920 and nothing existed before that.
Which yeah, and anything, like, people are so obsessed with youth and, like, new things here that the city even just tears down cool old buildings, you know, constantly to replace them with new buildings.
Yeah. Yeah, and the East Coast is completely the flip. They're like, we don't want these new buildings. We would rather have our old ramshackle, asbestos-filled, lead paint-covered building. We love it. Leave it alone.
Yeah, exactly.
Ridiculous. So you're like, an hour outside of Chicago, so you get a lot of that Chicago... Yeah, Chicago dogs and all that stuff.
Yeah, I grew up, my parents took us to the city a decent amount. And then as soon as I got a car, I just immediately started going to the city constantly, which was a lot of fun. And it was nice because I grew up in such a small town. There's like two restaurants and neither of them are good. And then, you know, Chicago has so much more to offer.
Sure.
In terms of like cuisine.
Oh, well, yeah.
And everything. I mean, all cultural things.
This is true. But I mean, the Midwest food in general just like cracks me up because there's just no concern for health at all.
None. No. And I've like, you know, when I visit home, I eat much healthier now. I always thought I ate healthy when I lived home, but then you're like, I think healthy in LA versus healthy in Indiana are two completely different systems. And now when I go home, I mean, I've gone to restaurants and I'm like, you know, I'll order like a chicken or salmon or something with veggies. And I'll be like, no butter. And they're like, how much butter? And I'm like, not zero. And they're like, just a little. And I'm like, no. And then they're like, butter on the side. And I'm like, please, God, no butter. And then it comes out and it's drenched in butter. And I'm like, well, I don't want to throw it away because I hate the waste. But also, this is crazy. I'm going to have a heart attack. Like, one time I was with my brother for breakfast and I ordered an egg white scramble. And the waitress was like, a what? What? And I was like, just egg whites. And she's like, but it had no idea what I was talking about. And I was like, never mind. It's fine. Just the whole eggs. It's okay.
Just take the stick of butter, cover it in egg, deep fry it, and bring it to me.
Yeah. She's like, so you want them breaded? I'm like, no.
Oh man. Yeah, that is good. I mean, it's like, in theory, it's delicious and great, but like, if you don't eat that way for a good long time, like when you eat it, it just does a number on your body.
Oh yeah. It'll mess you up. It is really funny to see, like, I love them so much. My friends back home that are like, I'm eating healthy for the summer and whatever. And you see like them post their food and it's like Yoplait yogurt and like those 100 calorie packs of like Oreos. And I'm like, have a vegetable, guys.
It's balance, man. It's balance. I have yogurt and I get cookies.
In the middle of farm country. Get some produce.
Seriously. So, I mean, in Philly, eating healthy is like having a side salad with like your, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. With fries. Yeah. But you also have a couple of leaves.
My friend Matt's wife, I love her to death. She's an awesome cook, but I hated ordering pizza with her because she would always insist on getting half like spinach and broccoli. And I'm just like, no. Like, you're already eating the pizza.
Yeah, the pizza has already gone out the door. Get everything you want on the pizza.
Yeah.
Like, put a hamburger on the pizza.
Seriously, or meatball or something, but like, not, come on already. That's just, I don't know. But
it's like a Big Mac with a Diet Coke. Same.
I went to In-N-Out the other day with my friend Jared and I got a number two with a Diet Coke. You know, you got to even it out somehow, right?
Something. Yeah. Totally.
But Indiana's known for a lot of like fair food. Did you have a lot of experience with that?
Oh yeah. I fucking love a good fair or a carnival. God, I miss sweet corn so much. Mm. And I don't even know if it was that much corn or again just butter. I think it was just like the corn was just a vehicle to get the butter into my body, in a more respectable way.
Yeah, sure.
Versus just eating a stick of butter, but like everything deep fried, fucking elephant ears. I know most people do like funnel cakes, but elephant ears are a different texture. I like them more.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you get those like food truck things that are just like, there's this food truck at the fair called Bits and Fixins. And it's just like meat and potatoes. And again, butter. And it's like, it's enough to give you a heart attack in one meal. It's crazy. Wow. Like I go now and I'll still indulge if I'm, you know, back home and there's a carnival, I'll still get something, but I have to split it with somebody. I'm like, I can't eat this whole thing anymore. Cause I'll die. I'll pass out and die.
I love funnel cake, but like, and down, you can get it at the Jersey Shore, which is where I grew up going in the summers. And you know, funnel cake is like the size of a record album. You know, and like I get like four bites into it. I'm like, who wants this? You want some of this? Take some of this. I can't.
Dude, or cotton candy. Oh. Do you know, like one of my goals, this is for real. One of my goals, and I don't really eat that many sweets. But I'm like, when I'm rich, I'm going to have a cotton candy machine in my house. That's step number one.
That's living, baby. That's living. Yeah.
I need a Ferris wheel too.
I always wanted a Slurpee machine.
Oh, yes. Please. Why isn't that more accessible? I feel like there has to be some version of that in Sky Mall, you know, like a small one.
Oh yeah, probably. Probably. The official one, because they can only, I hate 7-Eleven, but like an icy is not the same thing. You can never get it quite exactly right like they do with the Slurpee. And I remember watching Cribs at one point back in the day, and some rich guy had a Slurpee machine in his rec room.
That's living.
It really is. It's a sign of status.
I feel like most rich people don't know how to live. I say this all the time because I worked for a very wealthy family for a while, and it's like, why do you have a $400 trash can? Instead of that, get a fucking cotton candy machine. Have some fun with your money. Why do you have this stupid, stuffy, why do you have a $30,000 couch? Buy a Tilt-A-Whirl.
Like, why have like eight bedrooms if one of them isn't full of pinball machines?
Exactly. Thank you very much. Speaking of, my kitchen table, it's covered in shit right now, but my kitchen table is a Ms. Pac-Man machine, because a friend of mine gave that to me and she was moving and she didn't have room for it. She's like, do you want this? I'm like, yes.
Is it the tabletop one?
It's a tabletop.
Oh, shut up.
like old school Miss Pac-Man machine.
Oh man, they had one of those at Pizza Hut when I was a kid.
Oh,
and there used to be this place when I was in high school. We'd get really high and go to this taco place called Taco House. And I would get really, all my friends laughed at me because I would get so excited because like play in this Pac-Man machine and eat tacos at the same time. It was like living, baby.
Oh,
I'm so jealous.
Good. It's so good. I just played recently and my neighbor next door texted me. He's like, are you okay? Because I'm like, it's fucking hard. Pac-Man is hard. And I was screaming and he's like, is everything all right? I'm like, I'm just playing Pac-Man. Just a normal 30-something-year-old woman hanging out alone playing Pac-Man.
As you do. That is awesome. Yeah. I don't know, man. I have, like, relatives that are rich and, like, you know, living here. I did the dog walk thing for a real long time. So, like, I would see, like, rich people's houses and, like, all pretty boring.
They never get it right. It drives me crazy.
Yeah.
Or they have, like, these beautiful yards and they don't go in the yard ever. They just sit inside all day. I'm like, what the fuck? You have a whole dining set outside. You have a fireplace outside. Go get out there.
And a pool.
You have a cocktail. Yeah, your money is making money. Why are you inside watching TV? Go outside, make a margarita, and jump in the pool.
Oh, man.
Hello.
You know, I grew up like I guess upper lower class, I guess you could say. And I grew up in like a row house in Philly. So like if you had an above ground pool, you were considered like rich.
Uh-huh.
And only like as I got older did I realize that like above ground pools are kind of trashy, which I didn't realize.
Yeah, I never knew that.
Yeah. So like I always wanted an in-ground pool. I'm a very non-materialistic person. Like I don't crave the big house and the expensive cars. But man, someday if I have money, I'm going to get a pool and I'm going to spend all my time in it. And anybody I know that's ever had a pool tells me they're a huge pain in the ass and I don't even care.
I agree with you. In-ground pool is the shit. And actually, a friend of mine has an in-ground pool. And I've just started inviting myself over, Nicole. I'm like, hey, it's like this last weekend, I was like, hey, I just looked at the weather forecast and it's going to be 96 on Tuesday. Can I come over? I don't have air conditioning. And he's like, yeah, no problem. So I just went there yesterday all day. Oh,
that's awesome.
Just inviting myself. I'm like, I don't care anymore. I've gone this long without inviting myself. I'm not waiting for people to invite me anymore. I need to be in a pool.
If you have an in-ground pool and it's this hot out and you're not inviting people over to come and swim in your pool, you're just an asshole.
Right? Like, you should have people in your pool every day. That should be it.
Yeah, just have some fun. You know, wheel out a cooler beer and soda and, you know, tell people to bring food for the barbecue and jump in the pool. I mean, I'm like crying thinking about it. Like that's.
I know. I was like, well, also, I think, you know, before I didn't. I was like, I'll just tough it out. I guess I don't have AC, but now I have a dog, and I'm like, she can't be. It's so hot in my apartment. You know, I have like 3 fans on and like this shitty air conditioning kind of thing. So that's, I use her as an excuse. I'm like, can me and Luna come over and go in the pool? It's really not about me. It's about the dog.
Right. I mean, hey, if that works, you know, go for it. Yeah. And everybody. Yeah,
I highly recommend it. Get a dog and just start inviting yourself places.
Well, we have a pool in my apartment complex,
ooh,
but it's been closed since the beginning of the quarantine.
No.
And it doesn't seem like they're opening it up. And if you walk, I'm on the third floor, and if we walk out of my front door and look down, there's the pool mocking me.
No, they need to open it up. The chlorine's the safest thing for fucking, that's, yeah. If you're swimming laps and you're breathing in above the water and then breathing out under the water, the chlorine's killing all the germs anyway. So.
Yeah. I don't know why they even care anyway. Nobody wears a mask in this complex. So. I don't know.
That's my whole neighborhood. No one's in a mask. And they're just like, hey, neighbor. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What?
I just hold my breath. Like, I put my mask on and hold my breath and run to my car. So working on my lung capacity is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's great. It's a skill we're building now.
That's right. So you did some touring over in Europe.
I did.
Yeah, so how was that?
Oh, amazing. Last summer... well, 2018, I did some shows in the UK, and then last summer, I built a big tour around an album recording. I recorded my first album in London in June, and so I just kind of got carried away when I was booking. I was like, at first, I was like, oh, let me see if I could do 10 shows. And then I was like, well, I may as well try to do 20. And then I hit 20 and I was like, I should go for 30. And then I ended up doing 50, I think it was 51 shows.
Whoa.
In 8 weeks in 9 countries, which was fucking crazy. I still, looking back at it, I'm like, I don't know how I did that. Cause I, like, my travel schedule was insane and I booked it all myself and I was promoting it all myself and I was doing, like, I had my recording, I did a few festivals, I did a military show. So I'm like, I have no idea how I did it. Just like day to day.
Wow. That's like a band schedule. That's like a band tour.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. There are bands that go on tour that play less shows than that.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm like, that's the thing I'm most proud of because I'm like, I sincerely don't know how the fuck I pulled that off. But, you know, like when you tell people outside of, when you tell non-comics, like, oh, I did this huge tour, they're like, yeah, but have you met Jerry Seinfeld? And I'm like, okay, I guess I'll do that. That's what it takes to impress you.
Yeah, you haven't really made it until you shook hands with Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, well then, that's a big deal, I guess. Sure.
Yeah, it's very weird. The perspective from each side is so different. And, you know, like, when I used to live in Philly, I would come out to LA and I would stay with my friend Sean and, like, do, like, 9 or 10 days, you know, come out here and then, like, try and book, like, as many shows as I could.
Yeah.
And all my comic friends were like, that's awesome. And then, like, non-comic people were like, but did you go to Disneyland? And I'm like, but, but I'm trying to, but I'm doing
right,
that.
Right, of course. You're like, huh?
Yeah.
Or like, even better, or not even better, but like, I love when you go on the road and you do like dates near friends or family and they're like, oh, you have to stay with us and meet the baby and come to this thing. And you're like, I'm working. Will you please come to my show? That's how you'll see me, is if you come to my show. And they, it was like a major whining. Like,
No, it's the
people
truth.
Like, don't get it. They think you're just traveling and partying. And it's like, no, there's a lot happening right now.
They're like, you want to go to dinner? And I'm like, well, my show's at 7. So no.
Yeah. So we either have dinner at 5 or at 11.
Right, right.
We have 4 shoes.
Or possibly lunch if I'm awake. So, we were... me and Anna Valenzuela and Stuart Thompson, we were going to do this like East Coast run. So we were going to do like Atlanta and North Carolina and Philly and New York. And like, again, people are like, well, you know, I don't know if I can make it to the show, but we could totally hang out. And I'm like, I probably not. Like, this isn't really like a social thing for me. It's work. I'm working. This is work. You know, I'm like.
Yeah. No one ever really gets it. Unfortunately.
Yeah. It's a very, cause it's just like, people are like, oh yeah, you know, stand up. You just go up there and just talk about shit. Like, and then you strangle them because they don't think you're working or you've put work into things and it. Yeah.
Yeah. And especially like when you go on the road, it's like, okay, like if you're doing just a quick spot somewhere and you're only doing 10 minutes, it's like, I also want to meet the other comics in town. That's important to me. I don't want to just do my 10-minute spot and then hang out with somebody I went to elementary school with that I'm estranged from. That's another thing. Like people you haven't talked to in 20 years are suddenly like, let's hang out. And you're like, what? Why? What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's always a fun time. So it's because like, you don't want to hurt people's feelings, but it's just kind of like, yeah, I'm working.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, totally. Like,
Facebook me. I'm working. So like when you were in Europe, I guess, like, I mean, how'd you find the food over there?
Amazing. I mean, well, not as much in like England, not as much in the UK. God bless them. I mean, they have a lot of great Indian food places. Yeah, it was the best food I had. Probably I was in France for a few days and I was staying with an old friend, in Le Havre. So it's like Northern Normandy.
Cool.
And so she took me to like a little town restaurant, which was amazing. And then we got like, went to the market and got like a bunch of cheeses and wine and stuff, and that was incredible. Also, I had one of the best meals of my life in when I went to entertain the troops. It was in Jordan, and wow. So I got to spend a couple of days in Amman running around, or a day, really a full day in Amman running around, and like the concierge at the hotel sent us to, me and this other comic, Duran, who I'm friends with, sent us to this little, like, little spot in a strip mall. And, like, I dream of that meal because I literally just walked in and I was like, can, whatever your favorite thing is, that's what I'd like to have. I was like, just bring me your favorite thing. That's what I'll order. And they brought us this big spread of, like, vegetables and lamb, and it was the most tender lamb I've ever had in my life. It was like soft butter. Like it was melty. Ooh. It was so amazing. And it was like $8. It was so inexpensive. I'm like, this is the best thing I've ever had in my life. And then what was just like a weird coincidence, maybe because it was June, directly across the street from there was a carnival going on. So we got to go to the carnival after, and like, it was just like an American carnival. All the same rides. They had fucking sweet corn like it was the Midwest. They had, you know, ice cream and cotton candy and stuff. It was 25 cents to get in. It was the best thing. And for 25 cents, I went to a Jordanian carnival and rode a Ferris wheel and had some ice cream.
Wow.
So for under $10, I had like the best experience of my summer.
Wow, that's awesome. How was doing the USO show?
It was great. It was on this base right on the Iraqi border, which was weird. Like, it was, the best part was it felt really exciting because like we got to the airport and they already had our visas for us, so we like skipped all the lines and we just went straight up to the desk and they like stamped the visas into our passports. And then we had like a liaison that picked us up and drove us. We drove for like 2 hours in the middle of the night through the desert to get to base.
Wow.
And because it's like, it's an undisclosed location in Jordan, so we had to turn off all of our location services on our phone. So it felt like really, like the whole time, all of that stuff, anytime I'm like slightly in danger, I'm like, ooh, this is so exciting. You know, like, like we got to the base and they're like, oh yeah, you know, we've only had one incident here of a suicide bomber, but that was a while ago. And I was like, ooh, danger, you know. But it was fun. It was cool. The food on base was better than I expected. I mean, the chefs like killed it. There was a great like arrangement of food every day for us to choose from. And cool. I was like, oh, I could like do this for a while.
Yeah, I had a friend who was like kind of in charge of like USO kind of in the Philly area. Oh. And I was just a couple of years into doing stand up and I was like, yo, if you want to do some, because there's a National Guard and an Air Force thing like right around there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, he was just kind of scattered. So we never got to do a show, but I was always like, dude, let's do a show. Let's do a show. And he was always like, ah, we'll get to it. Yeah. And then like he changed jobs and I'm like, meh. And then he moved. So that's the end of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, I would love to do that someday. That's awesome.
Yeah, that had been a goal of mine for a while, and then that one just kind of fell into my lap, which was great. It was so fun, and it's, the show itself was a little bit nerve-wracking because I had prepared a clean, like a PG-13 set,
uh-huh.
And then, because, you know, they say, like, nothing political, nothing, like, overtly sexual, and I'm like, no problem. And then I'm opening the show. I'm about to go on stage, and not the general, there was somebody else in charge, like, high up, comes over, and she's like, okay, so super squeaky clean, has to be squeaky clean. And I was like, oh, yeah, I already planned out, like, a clean set. And she's like, no this, no that, no that. Like, and I, in visually, in my mind, I'm just imagining my set list, and I'm like, crossing everything off. I'm like, fuck, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. And I'm like, a lot of my stuff is sociopolitical. So I just pulled all that out. So I'm like, just watching my set list, like dwindle in my head. And then the other comic goes, can we say shit? And she's like, no. And I'm like, oh no. So then the whole time I was like, so nervous the entire set, because I'm like trying to talk so slowly and deliberately, because I'm like, want to slip and like get in trouble or whatever. So I felt like my set was fine. Like it wasn't, I didn't crush or anything. I was like, it's adequate. I had right. jokes in there. It just felt weird because it was like, as I was walking to stage, she literally pulled me aside and was like, you can't say this, you can't say this. And I was like, you couldn't tell me this 8 hours ago when we got here, 10 hours ago or whatever, you know, like,
yeah, yeah.
What the fuck? And then the guys that followed me didn't listen to any of the rules. Tons of sex jokes, tons of swearing, like totally blew, and they fucking crushed. And I'm like, it did bug me a little bit because I'm like, well, I don't, not that I need to swear to crush, but it's also like, you gave me all these guidelines right before I go on stage. I'm the only woman on the show. I'm opening.
Right.
For almost exclusively dudes. And you've taken all these like extra things away from me. And then the guys just, it looks like they're, and they're, look, the guys have been in the business longer. So we can say that there are stronger comics than me, but it looks like there's a huge disparity between our skill levels when, right. when they just go up and just blow out all the rules. And also they're following the cleanest 15 minutes anyone has ever seen, you know, it's like, obviously Chris Rock would destroy right after Ellen. You know what I mean? Like it's not, and I'm not saying that I'm Ellen or that they're,
no, I know what you mean.
But you know yeah. what I mean? It's yeah. just like clearly.
Man. Yeah, no, I totally get that. It must've been really frustrating to.
Yeah. I was like, I was mostly frustrated because I'm like, well, I don't care if I could have done better, I guess. My main concern is I'm like, well, I don't want the guy that booked me to think like I'm weak, but it's like you, as I'm walking the stage, you give me extra restrictions. Come on.
Yeah, that's not cool.
That's lame. But that goes back to, it's just, people just don't get it. They don't get, you know, what goes into stand up or how it works or, you know.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I teach a stand-up class at the Ruby and the things that people have said to me are just hilarious.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know,
sure, like totally nuts,
you know, from starting with, what do you mean we have to write stuff to, you know, how do I, cause I taught it in Philly too. So they'd be like, how do I, you know, get to perform at Helium? And I'm just like, you shouldn't even be thinking about that right now. Like Helium shouldn't even be on your radar right now. Like, how about you, yeah. do your first assignment and then we'll talk. Like, yeah.
Oh yeah. I taught a writing class. I just wrapped it up a couple of weeks ago. And there was a couple of people in the class, in one of my classes, that were like, and I hosted it through a friend's theater. And so I was very careful in the class description to be like, hey, this is for people that are like, you feel like you're ready to get staffed, you're submitting packets, but you're just not quite there yet. Like you're missing something, whatever. Cause it was specifically for late night packet writing.
Uh-huh.
And I had a couple of people that were like, went around the room and was getting introductions and I'm like, where's everyone at? And these two people were like, yeah, I've never written anything, but I've always thought I was funny. And I'm like, oh man, you are okay. I mean, I'm still going to do my best to help you out, but it feels like it, like you said, it's like, this is so far beyond where you're, if you've literally never written anything, what makes you think you're going to get hired by the Tonight Show suddenly? I don't understand.
I
don't get it.
It's, I'm going to make a statement that's going to make me sound old, but the young kids have a lot of, instant gratification
yeah.
problems.
Yeah.
You know, and they, you know, I mean, I've been doing stand up for like 10 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. I hit 10 years in April, which is like a drop in the water, but it's still 10 years, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, when these kids in the class are like, you know, how long do I have to do this before I could like headline at Helium? Like, I want to be at Helium or I want to be at the Improv or I want to, you know, I want to do this and I want to do that. And I'm just like, well, I mean, you have to put the work in.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, but how else? And I'm like, no, you have to do the work. You can't cut the line. And so my friend Dave
I think most of the time when people ask for advice, they're not looking for advice. They're looking for a magic shortcut. They're looking for you to be like, oh, why didn't you just ask? Here are the keys to the kingdom. Like, that's right. What they're really, they're, you know what I mean? It's not, you do have to do the work.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, yeah. Well, they're looking for a shortcut. That is the perfect way to say it. And it's just, and I've had friends and people who've taken my class and that, like, you know, are like, oh, I like stand-up, I want to try it. And I'm like, oh yeah. I mean, if you hate yourself enough, go for it. You know, like, let's try it. And then they always disappear after a while. And only one time has anybody ever been honest with me about it. And this one girl, she came to this open mic I used to go to all the time on Mondays in Philly. And then she stopped coming. Uh-huh. And I saw her, like, I don't know, a couple months later. And I was like, oh, what happened? And she was like, you know, that's a lot of work. I was like, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it is. It's like a... It's a terrible career choice. It's a lot of work.
I have a friend of mine who's a successful stand-up. His cousin was like bugging him. He was like, yeah, I want to be a stand-up too. Like, that looks like a lot of fun, whatever. And at this point, my friend's already like 8 or 10 years in. And he's like, uh-huh. Yeah, you know, I want to do what you do. So my friend took his cousin to an open mic and his cousin bombed his face off. And then afterwards, my friend goes, all right, now do that every single night for the next 10 years and you'll get to where I'm at. And his cousin was like, oh, what?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
I think when you put it that way, it's like, oh God, what? Yeah. How much of my life? Oh, and then it's still a gamble? Fuck.
Yeah. that's pretty fantastic. Yeah. And imagine how bad those open mics get. And they get real bad. And you still have to go.
it's like there's a big lottery, right? Like there's a $30 million lotto coming up. And each year you're in stand-up, you're given one voucher towards winning the lottery for each year you've been in stand-up. So at 10 years, you have 10 lottery tickets, but you're still playing against 29,999,000 other people. So it's like, yeah, you have 10 tickets, mm-hmm. but everybody's got a ticket. So, I mean, good luck.
Yeah. And then along the way, you also have life that happens. I know so many funny people who got married mm-hmm. and... You know, that's a responsibility. And then they have kids and that's a responsibility.
Death sentence.
What was that?
I said a death sentence.
A death sentence. Yeah, that too. Definitely. And, you know, and jobs and people lose their focus. And like, I mean, think about all the people that you started with. How long are you in for?
Technically almost 12 years. But okay. Really, I think of it as more like 8 or 9. Because the first, I think... total the first 3 years I was in stand-up, I maybe did 4 shows or 5 because I was just terrified.
Right.
So I didn't really start working on it until I was 3 years in.
And then think of all the people that you started with and how many of them are still in it. And I can count them on one hand.
So few. Yeah.
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 And
that's another thing. Like, I think people just drop out after a while. We're like, when I first moved here, I have a family member that had initially moved out here for acting and then quit. And then she tried to discourage me from coming out. She's like, you know, there's just so many people doing it and there's just so much competition. And I was like, I think that also scared me a lot. I was like, oh God, like I'm doing this thing, but should I? This is so, the odds are against me. But then it's like, when you take a look at the people that are actually doing the work, and who are in it for the long haul, it's like 1% of everyone that's pursuing it. So it's like, oh, you don't really have that much competition.
Yeah.
Break it down like that.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of hobbyists. There's a lot of people who are just content with just like, you know, doing little shows on the weekends and they're not, yeah. you know, and they're happy with that and good for them, you know, but like, you know.
If that's me, I'd kill myself.
I mean, yeah, maybe. Yeah. So yeah, you got a good outlook on this. I like it.
Still trying to win that lottery.
You and me both. You and me both. So you tweeted a picture of this salad, right? I want to talk about this fucking salad.
Nicole, I am devastated by that salad. Well, what the fuck?
Tell the kids at home what's in this salad.
You guys, so God bless. I recommend staying on Facebook. I know Facebook is evil, but it's the same company as Instagram, so just who cares? I stay on there because my family is nuts, and I had a family member post one of those big, like, throwaway tins that you get, you know, when you're in the yes. days of potluck, when you're going to somebody's house or a picnic or whatever, and you make a big dish in a big, like, foil pan. And there was one of those with, and my family member posted it with the caption, "Salad time." And it was like iceberg lettuce, purple onions. Okay. So normal so far, weird, but normal. What else was in there? Iceberg lettuce, purple onions, diced tomatoes were normal so far, not very tasty, but normal, hard boiled eggs and green grapes. You guys, what the fuck? Who puts hard-boiled eggs and green grapes together? Also, no dressing, no seasoning, no salt and pepper, just plain ass. First of all, iceberg lettuce has no flavor, has no nutritional value. You may as well eat a napkin. Like, at least a napkin would have more fiber. So the iceberg lettuce immediately is, like, offensive to me. But that's such a Midwestern thing of, like, when people – it goes back again to people, like, thinking they're healthy, but they're eating iceberg lettuce, and it's like – There's literally no nutritional value to iceberg lettuce.
Nope.
It's
water.
Rough it. Yeah. It's just water. So that, and then the onions and tomatoes, which fine. And I'm like, I know these people and I've eaten at their house. They're the ones that are responsible for Thanksgiving dinner in my family. And I'm like, I know those are the mealiest, most tasteless tomatoes on the planet that they're eating. And then to put fucking green grapes and hard-boiled eggs together in there is insanity. I mean, they should be arrested. Unbelievable.
When you get, like, catering food in Philly and on the East Coast from, like, a pizza place, like, if your office orders, like, 15 pizzas and, like, and they're like, "You want a salad?" Like, that's the kind of salad that they'll put together, yes. Minus the grapes.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, like, tasteless fucking fruits and vegetable-y type things, you know, a little bit of a green bell pepper.
Carrots.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hate shaved carrots because it's like, it's in everything because they're cheap as hell.
Yeah. And it's just texture. You don't get any flavor out of it. It's just a little bit of a crunch. It's pointless.
Yeah.
But, like, okay. I was looking at the picture earlier today and I was just like, how did the grapes get in there? Were they just kind of like, we got these grapes, we need to do something with them? Or were they like, we need another, like, squishy thing to put in with the tomatoes? Like, I don't know.
And it was very intentional. They sliced them up. They sliced them like horizontally across the grape, which also doesn't make sense. I'm like, that doesn't even look right. And then all these people commented under the photo and they're like, "Oh man, your wife really knows how to cook." And I'm like, cook? First of all, this doesn't involve cooking. This is just preparation, first of all. Secondly, are you guys all mental? You're eating this? That's appetizing? That's so embarrassing.
I kind of pictured it next to, like, a vat of ranch dressing. It's just like a big ladle, like you would at, like, a wedding, you know?
Yeah.
So did you get any blowback from that?
No, but I didn't. I was like, I made sure. I posted it in my Instagram stories, and because I don't – like, my family kind of stalks me online, but they don't actually follow me. But the family members that are closest to that, the one who made the salad, I blocked them all from my stories for the day because I'm like, people need to see this. I can't hide this from my followers.
That's some thinking. I would not even think of that. That's,
yeah. Man. I'm like, the audacity for these family members also to, like, think they're better than me in any way. I'm like, you can't even make a salad. Jesus.
Like, I didn't even have words. I could not figure out why the grapes were in there.
No one can.
For the love of God.
Like, it would be weird, but not as offensive with either no grapes or no eggs. But fucking grapes and eggs together. Get out of here. That's...
I don't. I just,
not okay.
I just can't with that. I just, I yeah. don't. Oh man. So you've been living out in LA for a while now, right?
Yeah, I've been living here for a little while.
Yeah, for a minute. And what are your favorite things out here to like kind of maybe after show food?
Oh, you know what I'm gonna miss so much? Swingers. I'm so mad that Swingers closed.
No, their waffles are awesome. I'm so mad.
They had so many good things, and it's like it was like a comedy commissary. Like it's not. It's maybe pricey for diner food, but it's not pricey for like just like a late night hangout. You know, you can eat for $10 or whatever. I love Swingers. Palms Thai is a go-to, even though I don't love their food, but they offer free delivery and it's close to me. There's a place right by my apartment on Vine and Melrose. It's called either Star of India or Taste of India. I always forget. And it's a little mom and pop shop. It's incredible Indian food. It's so good. Huge portions, like Midwest portions, reasonably priced. I love that place. There's a spot on Larchmont called Good Goose Cafe. And that's, it's like Asian fusion. They're like green curry is amazing. I really like this Mexican place called Terry's, T-E-R-E-S. There's one in the Valley and there's one on Melrose. Excellent chicken enchiladas. There was like another, I think it was right before COVID, I think it was like under construction or moving or something called like the, fuck, it was like Pita Pit or something. This is unhelpful. There was something else on, it was on Fairfax. It was like pita something or another. Amazing Middle Eastern food. I recently got into Ethiopian food, and I can't remember the place I went to.
I tried.
But another place like down on Fairfax.
I tried real hard with the Ethiopian food because I'll eat anything that isn't nailed down. And I tried real hard, and there's something about that spice blend. I can't do it. And the spongy bread.
Oh, yeah. That's fair.
It's a texture thing for me. And it really surprised me because like I said, I eat anything or like anything and I couldn't do it. And my friends were like, eat some more. And I'm like, no. And they were like, we finally found it. Something that you won't eat. And I was like, I feel so bad. I feel bad that I don't like Ethiopian food. Like that's how crazy I am.
That's fair. I mean, I only had it recently, like I said, and I love it. But and that's another like great thing about living in a big city is like, you would never see Ethiopian food in the town I grew up in. Like they just got a Mexican restaurant and it's not even really Mexican food. You know what I mean?
Is it a Taco Bell? It's a Taco Bell, isn't it?
No, Taco Bell would be like big time. For my town, that would, we're not quite there yet. It's just like a shitty little dump. But you know, and people love it, but I'm like, oh, it's the kind of Mexican food, like you love it until you have real Mexican food. And then you're like, oh, I've been scammed this whole time. I was like.
There's a, in South Philly on Washington Ave, there's this big white trailer that's like it's a big taco truck thing. But it's like a whole trailer. And like I had Mexican food before that, but like not that. And then when I had that, I was like, now I can't eat the other stuff. Like I can't, you know, and then I moved out here and that was just like another level up.
It's life changing. That was the one thing when I was traveling overseas, I really missed Mexican food because I was there. I was overseas for 2 months and then I went directly from there to New York, and New York, God bless them. They try so hard to do Mexican food and they cannot get it right.
Pizza. Let them do the pizza.
Yeah. You can have pizza. You can have bagels. There's so much good French food in New York. It's like, but you have to stop trying with the Mexican food. You're just not getting it. It's a fucking joke. like maybe Cuban food, but not Mexican food. So that's, I really missed that. And then when I came back, that was like the first thing I had. I was like, I've got to have a fucking taco.
Yeah. And it's funny to talk to people out here. Everybody has like their favorite like taco truck.
Yeah.
And they will tell you exactly where it is and exactly what to order, you know, and it really makes me laugh. And I have a friend that lives in Eagle Rock and they just opened a Taco Bell. on Colorado.
Uh-huh.
And this, somebody was, like, bitching about it. They're like, who eats a Taco Bell? That's not real Mexican food. And I'm like, listen, if I want real Mexican food, I will go to the taco truck and get real Mexican food. When I want Taco Bell, I go to Taco Bell.
Like, yeah, it's a food group. It's yeah. a song thing. Yeah.
Yeah. If I want to, like, hurt myself for $5, I will go to Taco Bell. If I want real food, I'll go to the taco truck. So
there's that. Have you ever eaten from there's the taco truck in before times would sit outside of the Virgil.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Ooh. Their Al Pastor tacos are some things.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. My favorite El Pastor taco is Leo's Ooh. Tacos. There's like a whole bunch of them. There's one in that parking lot up the street from UCB Sunset.
Uh-huh.
Where the WSS shoe place is. And then...
Okay. I know exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my favorite El Pastor taco. But I'm sure there's just a place right behind them ready to knock them off their perch. Because who doesn't love El Pastor tacos? I mean, really.
I only tried them for the first time like a couple of years ago. And I was like, what the fuck have I been doing this whole time? Why have I been eating these?
I've wasted my entire life.
I know.
So, all right. So, you know, it's getting really hot. So let's wrap this up. Okay. So favorite, like, death row meal, like.
This is so boring. I love eggs so much. And my favorite meal in Los Angeles is there's a restaurant called Quality. It's on 3rd and Crescent Heights, roughly. And they do the best eggs Benedict I've had. They're fucking amazing because they do like big fluffy biscuits. Ooh. And then they have this avocado Benedict, and it's like a big fluffy biscuit with like a perfect avocado and then, you know, poached egg and sauce on top. And it's so delicious. I could just cry thinking about it. I miss it so much.
Man, I love eggs Benedict, the hollandaise sauce.
Whenever things are open again, or if they're doing takeout, maybe. I don't know if Eggs Benedict is good for takeout, but Quality has like 15 different kinds of Eggs Benedict. Like, that's their thing. They have one menu page that's just all these different Eggs Benedict.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
really good.
I can't believe anybody hasn't thought how to make like juice box hollandaise, you know, just so you can just walk around and just hollandaise.
Honestly.
and lastly, favorite thing to eat. Favorite thing to make at home. Yeah.
Make? I am really good at baked salmon.
Really?
Yeah, I do baked salmon a lot. That's probably my favorite thing because it's so easy. I just throw some seasoning on there and pop it in the oven. And I've perfected it to where, like, the salmon is so tender and you just go to cut it open and it kind of falls apart because it's super tender. But it's just north of safe, you know what I mean? Like, it's not raw, but it's certainly not overcooked.
And it's not dry.
Yeah, that's my specialty.
That's awesome. All right, so you have an album coming out.
I do.
Let's talk about that. Pimp your album.
I recorded my very first album in London last summer, and it's now available for pre-sale on iTunes. It's called Alive for a While. And it will be available for sale starting September 2nd.
Nice.
That's awesome. I'm stoked. Thank you.
Awesome. And you recorded that in London.
I did, yeah. This club, Top Secret Comedy Club. It's my favorite. It's fucking amazing. They're great.
That's awesome. That's awesome. How did you like the crowds as opposed to the crowds here? Like,
they're so much better. I'm sorry, Americans. But people here, like, don't know how to laugh. I think Americans sit there and they watch you on stage and they're like, I could do that. And, like, you can't. But also, people in the UK are so excited to watch you perform. They're, like, they're engaged and they're good laughers. And they're just, like, they're more secure in their lives. They're like, yeah, I'm a dentist and you're a comedian. And that's cool, you know, which is really, really nice. I enjoy it.
I feel like in the UK, they have more respect for performing arts because they have such a longer history and they're exposed to it at such a young age.
Yeah.
That like they understand that it's work.
Yeah.
And you're not just like singing a song. Hey, you know?
And it feels like a very American thing for everyone to be so desperate to become famous or be an entertainer or like hit the lottery in that way. Like, I think everyone, I think it's a very American thing to want to like hit a proverbial lottery, where like in, you know, the UK, they have socialized medicine, so they don't need to win the lottery in order to pay for grandma's healthcare. You know, they can just live a life.
That's great.
And they have more of a life work balance, where we don't have that.
Right.
So they're able to just enjoy the arts, which is really nice. Even like when I was there in 2018 and I was working on a lot of stuff, and they're so excited to just watch you work something out. Like, you know, they do work in progress shows a lot where you're doing an hour and you literally have notes on stage and you're trying to figure it out. And they will work in progress shows will also sell out because people are just so stoked to watch you figure out your act. We're here. There's no fucking way. There's no way. If you sold tickets to a show here and you're like, for an hour, I'm going to figure out what the jokes are. People would be like, yeah, call me when you figure it out. No, thank you.
You'd end up with like 1,000 videos of like comedian bombs on stage.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it would be. And everyone being like, and you would hear their voice as they're filming you and they'd be like, I could do that.
Totally. Totally. So where can everybody find you on the internet?
You can find me a lot of places online. My website with all my stuff is lisacurry.net. On Twitter, I'm Lisa_Curry. And then on Instagram, I'm Olympian Lisa Curry.
Olympian, baby.
Yeah, because there's an Olympic gold medalist named Lisa Curry, and she took our name, so I took Olympian.
Yeah, I noticed that when I was Googling you earlier today. I was like, oh, look at that.
Yeah. It's so funny, too, because she's like, my height, my build, she has blonde hair, you know, she's a much better athlete than me. That's but like, awesome. She's a swimmer and I swam in high school. I'm like, this is fucking weird. And I got a puppy in April and she got a puppy last month. I'm like, you've got to be fucking joking. What's going on here?
Wow. Wow. That's some kind of like weird parallel universe thing going on there, you know?
Yeah. It's super weird. You want to know what's even weirder? So I took Olympian Lisa Curry on Instagram, and I have a friend in London who's also a comic, and her name is Helen Jenkins. And I was telling her about this. I'm like, yeah, there's this Australian gold medalist named Lisa Curry. And she was like, wait a second, there's an Australian gold medalist named Helen Jenkins. And I'm like, what? What the fuck is going on?
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Right?
Well, there's a guy, you know Dave Yates?
By name only.
Yeah, he's a comic in town. And we have the same last name.
Uh-huh.
And we're both comics. And, like, I kind of knew him on Facebook from afar. But, like, I grabbed YatesyComedy.com. Uh-huh. And he's still a little salty about it.
That's really funny. Good. Take it. Get YatesyComedy.com on everything. As a matter of fact, if he dies before you, take his headstone.
Deal.
Funny as shit.
Oh, man. All right. Well, hey, thanks so much for sitting down and talking about food stuff with me.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
All right, everybody, that was Lisa Curry, who's kind enough to sit down and have a chat with me about all the things that you just listened to. Buy her album. It's called Alive for a While. You can get it everywhere that you buy anything recorded. iTunes, Apple Music, whatever. Spotify, you name it. I don't know. Anyway, buy her stuff. Follow her on the internet. It's Olympian Lisa Curry. Comedians and performers in general have been really hit really hard with the coronavirus. We're losing money, we're trying to hang in there. We could really use your support. So if you can do that, that would be awesome. Anyway, you can follow me at YatesyComedy.com. You can follow me on Facebook at Yatesy75. You can follow me on Instagram at Yatesy75. You could also follow DigiEat on Instagram at Digia_Eat. And that's all we have right now. Tune in next week for another great episode. And hey, DigiEat?